Glory to God. Well, Father, we thank you for this time and the word tonight. Lord, we love you. We set our love upon you, Father. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus and the Holy Spirit to abide and live within us, to manifest your presence, to teach us your love and reveal your heart to us. Lord, as we study these gifts tonight, gifts from the Father's heart, Holy Spirit, we ask that you enlighten our understanding and cause revelation knowledge to come. Reveal the heart of the Father to us, and we give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, our study is on gifts from the Father's heart, and this is part 4 of the series. I thought there'd be 5, but there'll probably be 6. I'm not going to go back and redo all those other ones. I'm just going to bring out a few quick points that we've already studied, maybe 5 minutes, and just mention the gifts we've already talked about. So, the greatest giver of all time and eternity is God Himself. He never stops giving. You know, I need a revelation of that little last section there. He never stops giving.
Amen.
He's always been a giver. He is a giver. He's the most giving entity that exists. That love is a giver. When you're walking in love, you're a giver. It's just the way it is. You can't help yourself. You're giving of yourself. You're giving of your time. You're giving of your thoughts. You're giving of your prayers. You're just a giver. Somebody needs something, you're there for them. Your heart is to bless people. Is to be, no matter how honorary they are, the honorier they are, the more you love them. Because a person that's not walking in love goes the other way.
Yeah.
The meaner they are, the farther away you go. But a lover, someone that's loving, that's walking in God's love, as God manifests in him, he draws closer to the person. He wants to reach that person. There's a story of a testimony of a guy that went to prison, real bad guy, and he got born again and filled with the Spirit in prison. And he wound up, he wanted to help people, so he went to the infirmary, you know, the clinic there in the prison, and he worked there. And there was this mean old lifer there. He was really mean. But he got deathly sick. He wound up in the infirmary. He would beat everybody. He walked around with a cane. He'd hit everybody with that cane. You get close to him, you know, that's the kind of way he was. And this guy determined he was going to love this guy. And he kept going over there. God hit him. But he kept coming back. And finally the old man asked him, "I've been real mean to you. How come you keep coming back?" And he told him why. And the guy got born again.
Wow.
He experienced real love in action. The old man did, maybe for the first time in his life. He was there permanently. I don't know if he's on death row or not. I don't remember. But
no, he was a lifer. But they have to provide geriatric service, you know. So it's like even though it's in a prison, it's like a nursing home or a hospital. These people, you know, they're old. They've been there all their lives.
Yeah, they're there their whole life.
They're not ever going to get out.
He was bitter. The old man was bitter. And finally he found somebody that would love him anyways. Praise God. Well, that's the way we're supposed to be. But he never stops giving. That's my point. The greatest gift ever given was Jesus. The ultimate gift of love. I mean, we can study that gift forever. We talked about that in our first message. What it took to get Jesus here and why he was sent. The one and only reason that Jesus came into this world was because man was separated from God. And as I've mentioned in the previous messages, I keep wanting to say it because it's important for us to realize Jesus did not have to come to the earth to become the Son of God. He already was.
Yeah,
he didn't have to come here to gain anything. He already had it all. He's part of the Godhead. He didn't have to come to have victory over Satan. He already had that. He's never lost that. He came for one reason and one reason only. He came from man. Because man was separated from God. and God loves man. And we've told you why in the first one also, how God created man out of the dust of the ground. We're the only creature that was created that way. Nothing else. Everything else was animal, bee. Like bee, he spoke it.
Let the earth bring forth, let the seas bring forth.
But not with man. Mm-hmm. He said, let us, there's only one us, mm-hmm. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make a man. Mm-hmm. And then he took the dust of the ground and made a man. But he wasn't done yet, because the man was just a lump of clay. Mm-hmm. He still didn't say, life be. He didn't say that. Mm-hmm. The word says he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils mm-hmm. of man. He placed his own breath inside of man. His own spirit inside of man. And it says he became a living being. That's why man is so valuable to God. We're part of him. You know, and it's so valuable to him. He wanted somebody that's just like himself to love. Because love has to love. You can love a dog, but not the way you can somebody like yourself. So he needed somebody like himself to pour his love out on. Somebody, see, all of creation, everything that is a gift to man. It was all present before man was put there. God made it all ready, everything in place, before he ever created man. Then he put man in there to take care of it. He gave it all to him. That is so awesome. The greatest giver that has ever lived is God himself. And the one and only reason that Jesus came into this world was because man was separated from God. Separated by sin, not... It wasn't man's idea, it was Satan's idea. He deceived man into accepting that. So that's why Jesus came. He gave us the gift of life itself, all creation. I'm going to go through the ones we've already studied and just mention what they are. He gave us the gift of choice. And that's so important. That's why I put that at the beginning there. It's because without choice, all man is an animal. Uh-huh. Now, a dog, you see a dog running up, he can choose to turn right or left, yeah. or choose to eat or not eat. But that's not the kind of choice we're talking about. That's just instinct. That's not the kind of choice we're talking about. This choice makes us just like God. He gave us the gift of choice, so that we could choose him. See, love is not forced on anything, or it's not love. He didn't want robots. He wanted someone that would love him the way he would love them. And we have to choose to love. That's why that tree was in the middle of the garden, so that man had something to choose. It's so awesome. Choice is an awesome, awesome study. But all mankind has the gift of choice. Otherwise, he's not a man. He gave us the gift of eternal life. And with that gift of choice, we can choose eternal life. It's not forced on us. We have to choose it. Man chose Adam as a man. All the mankind was in him. Adam, as the only man around, made a choice. And it was the wrong one. With that same gift of choice, we can choose to go free.
Amen.
Because God made a way for us to choose. Mm-hmm. He gave us something to choose. Otherwise, we couldn't have chose. He gave us the gift of reconciliation. Back reconciled God and man. There was a separation, but now we've been reconciled. And we've been given the ministry to take to others. He gave us the gift of the living word. He gave us the gift of the bread of life. He gave us the gift of sonship. And that's an awesome one. Sons and daughters of God. He gave us the gift of God's grace. It's free grace, it says in Ephesians. His grace towards mankind. He gave us the gift of righteousness. He made us right. We were not right with God, but because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of the blood shed on the cross, we have been made right with God. We're in Christ. He gave us the gift of real freedom. And that's where we closed last week. Real freedom, not just, you know, you can be in prison like that guy I was talking about earlier, or you can be in bondage somewhere, but that doesn't make you any less free where God is concerned. You can go free anytime you want to. Now, you may still be in that prison, but the prison walls and bars don't make that doesn't make a real prison. The worst kind of prison there is one that is self-imposed, or a mental prison, or something like that. Those are spiritual prison. Those are worst kinds of prisons that you can ever go to, ever be in. And we're going to start here today. He gave us the gift of all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We're only going to read that one verse, because there's a whole two series in 2 Peter 1. And get Mom going. We'll be here 2 months. You know, she loves 2 Peter chapter 1. It's the building blocks. It's we talked about it when we talked about the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit, walking in the ways of the Lord. We went through all of that. It's actually the reverse of Paul's fruit of the Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue or excellence. All things. If it pertains to life and godliness, he gave it to us. Now, I can't wrap my head around that either. I talked about that last week. His divine power has given to us all things that have to do with or pertain to life and godliness. Notice he didn't stop there. There's more to it. Through the knowledge of him. So the knowledge of God, our knowledge of God, has to do with how much we receive of the things that pertain to life and godliness. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, the word says. Peter's saying that here. The more knowledge of God you have, the more you can receive that pertains to life and godliness. You receive all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of God, or knowing him, knowing his word. The more time you spend in the word, the more knowledge of him that you have. If you don't ever get in the Bible, that's your fault. God gave us the book so that we could know him, so that we could have that knowledge of him, so that he could give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. These gifts are given, and there's always something that I have to do to open it up. You know, I have to open that gift and receive that gift that's given. It's given, and it's mine. It belongs to me. But it doesn't work where I'm concerned unless I get and open that gift. He said here to open this gift of all things that pertain or have to do with life and godliness, in order to open that, it comes through knowledge of him. That's how I get it. So if I don't study and learn and grow in my knowledge of him, my relationship with God, I can't open those gifts. And they all come the same way. Romans 8:32, this is amplified. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? See, God's not holding anything back. He didn't hold anything back where we're concerned. He had to hold back until Jesus went to the cross. But once that took place, now he's not holding anything back from man. But we have to position ourselves to receive that and to walk in it. But it's there. It's waiting on me. He gave us the gift of the keys of the kingdom. Keys of the kingdom. Matthew 16:19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
I've never understood that.
Well, first you got to figure out what's binding and loosing. What are we binding and loosing?
Yes.
Let me see if I can find that here.
Looking for something there?
This is in the CEV, of current contemporary English version. It says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth.
Right.
But he will not allow anything that you don't allow.
Right. But it has to do with his will as well. He's not good. If I want to say, okay, I'm mad at this guy over here. I'm binding him from coming my way. No. Now, that's not what that's talking about.
You can't do that. No.
No, we're talking about things that pertain to life and godliness. When Satan comes against that, we can bind him. We can bind the devil from functioning over somebody's life. Now,
and we can't do that.
We can't make them get saved. They have to choose.
Okay.
But the reason they don't choose, because they don't know.
And the devil's blinded them.
He's blinded their eyes, the word says. Mm-hmm. They're deceived.
Excuse me.
Well, I don't believe in God. The only reason you don't is because your eyes are not open.
Mm-hmm.
You're blinded. Satan has successfully blinded them. So, we can bind him from any further influence. We can keep him from preventing that person to see, to hear.
Okay.
We can't make him make a choice, but we can let him know the choice is there and have an understanding of that choice. We can prevent Satan from functioning to keep him away.
Okay.
There's several places in the New Testament when Jesus was speaking something, you see this comment, he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
That I've heard now.
I got ears. Mm-hmm. I heard what you said. That's not what he's talking about.
No.
Satan has kept them from hearing. Who was he speaking to?
Jeremy.
He was speaking to the devil.
The devil.
Satan. Him that wants to hear this, you let him hear.
Oh, okay.
That's what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't realize that. It kind of seems like that statement has no place there.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. He was saying,
okay,
you cannot keep someone from hearing this that wants to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we can do. We can bind the devil from preventing the person from hearing. And then when he walks through his life, laborers come across his pathway. We send laborers across their pathway. We ask God to do that. Jesus said to do that. Pray that the Father will send laborers into the harvest field. We send laborers across that person's pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do that, he starts hearing. Somewhere along the line, he'll make a decision. He'll receive Jesus. Because now his understanding is being enlightened.
Well, when we talk about binding, it's this translation says, what you forbid on earth.
Yeah.
So we have the ability to forbid certain things
yes,
to
we
happen.
Do. Yes.
And what we allow, heaven and earth, you know, it has to be something in God's will to begin with.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Like preventing a devil from,
right,
you know, deceiving
right
somebody or influencing
yes
somebody, because as far as binding and loosing and locking and unlocking and or allowing, forbidding, whatever that is, we need to seek God on a situation like
yeah
that. But Jesus gave us those keys.
Yes.
So the first thing we got to find out is, you know, this person seems to have a problem here. We've been praying for their healing, and it's just not happening. And maybe there's a devil involved here.
Could very well
be. So we could bind.
And the Holy Spirit can enlighten.
Spirit. Yeah.
Enlighten us and reveal that to
us. It's
not
something that we do lightly.
Yeah.
What do we lose? I mean, that's, we talk about binding devils. What do we lose?
Yeah.
What do we allow?
Yeah.
We allow the word to work.
Yeah.
We allow the angels to work.
Yes.
Can. We allow the Holy Spirit to have influence on somebody or other. I like, there's something in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me get it there. 6, verse 1.
Okay.
Now this is right after 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where we hear about it. You're a new creature, old things are passed away, and that's in chapter 5, and then that's where we find out that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
So, in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, now, we have the ministry of reconciliation, right?
Okay.
It says, laboring together as God's fellow workers with him then, we beg of you not to receive the grace of God in vain, and then it explains what grace is. Mm-hmm. That merciful kindness by which God exerts his holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them. Do not receive it to no purpose. So he's telling these people. See, who is he talking to? He's talking to a church.
But
they're acting like they don't know what reconciliation is.
Well, they're also Gentiles.
Yeah, they're Gentiles, and they're still acting like they're old selves, like they don't understand about old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he said, this is what the grace of God's all about. God can have influence on souls. And we can release that grace.
Right.
When we do our binding and loosing, we can loose additional grace into someone's life. And, you know, just by praying for them and holding them up before God. As far as binding and loosing and keys and all that kind of stuff, we can get distracted. And we need to ask God, you know, is this a situation where I should find something, loosen? What should I do? And then he will guide us.
Take the time to pray because there are specifics. I can focus on one thing. It's not related to it at all. God knows a lot more than we do about a person. What they're going through and what's got them bound up may not be related to what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. It may be something back there years ago, where they got hurt and never forgive that person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the focus has to be different. See, God knows that. We may never know it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody may never know about that. Just the person. But he can reveal it to us.
It's something that will touch his heart.
Not the circumstance. No. He won't embarrass anybody. He won't tell anybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell them something in order for that person to focus on that.
Yeah, and that they will remember.
They'll remember.
They won't forget.
Or it might be just you have to forgive someone. He won't say why or who.
Mm-hmm.
He never does that.
Mm-hmm.
But he will reveal you the circumstance maybe or something
mm-hmm.
about it. But if I know that, now I can bind Satan from preventing him from forgiving. Where his eyes are open to forgive and strengthen him to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but that's specific. That's why you take the time to find out what's going on. Let God tell you. He may tell you instantly. He may not.
Interesting. Okay.
And sometimes you just got to bind Satan from any further influence and loose the angels and the Holy Spirit to be able to function in that person's life to reveal whatever he needs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something you just run into.
Yeah.
You can't sling a scattershot at things. Buckshot hits everything.
Yeah,
you don't want to do that. You want to target your enemy. Mm-hmm. But the other keys that he gave us, mm-hmm. the living word itself.
Yeah, that's the main key.
The key to everything is found in the word.
Mm-hmm.
This is the key.
The key.
And when we bind and loose, we do it based on the word. It's good to bring a scripture into it. The word of God says, by his stripes ye were healed. Now, Satan, we bind you from preventing this healing from functioning. We lose total wholeness in this person's life. But we have those keys. They are specific keys, and he gave it to us. We can take any promise or any thing that God has given us, and we can put it in our mouth and declare it. And that word we're speaking binds Satan.
Yeah. Word we're speaking.
Declaring the word over our circumstance. But if I don't know it, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get in here and find out, if I'm going through something, find out. There's something in here related to that. Find out what God said about that. And then use those scriptures. He gave us the gift of living water. Glory be to God. John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The water is a type of the Holy Spirit. He said, now, this doesn't mean that person will never have to go drink water anymore. That's not what he's talking about. This is spiritual water. It's water of the Spirit. Jesus talked a lot in kind of like parables and things. And he certain things he couldn't really say specifically, straight out, but he could do a parable. Because pre-cross. So certain things he was limited on saying. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's bubbling up within us and bringing life. Water is also a type of life. A type of life-giving. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to abide in us. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians, this amplified. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed upon us by God. He gave us divine favor. We're favored. We're his children. We're favored. But he gave us the Holy Spirit, not the gifts, not the spirit of the world. He gave us divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed upon us by God. Man, it's an, and there's another one here. Another Amplified also. I love the way the Amplified puts this because it tells us what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to us. The other versions do not say that. They'll say comforter or helper or paraclete, some other type of identification for the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't tell me much. When I think of a comforter, I think of somebody patting me on the back, you poor thing.
Yeah.
That's not what the Holy Spirit does. Well, that's not his job. So if you just say the comforter, go a little further with that. What's that mean? Mm-hmm. And if nobody explains it to us, we just fly right by that and don't realize how important that is. This Holy Spirit abides in us. But the comforter, or the Holy Spirit, the counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, and you got to add teacher, the Holy Spirit. That's the ministries that the Holy Spirit has where the believer is concerned. That is powerful. He's our counselor. He's the one that counsels us. If I'm going through, I'm not, but if I go through problems and things, sometimes I say, well, go see the counselor. And all you do is talk to them and they... all they'll say is something like, well, what do you think? Yeah. I come to see what you think. No, my job is to get you to answer your own problem. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. He tells us the truth about something. If I go to him as my counselor, I can say, Holy Spirit, I've got this issue I'm going through right now, and I really don't know how to choose. Please counsel me on this. Thank you. And you may not get to anything right then, but 2 days from that, you're busy washing your car or doing something, not even thinking about it, and all of a sudden, boom, the thought comes. I know what I got to do. Where do you think that come from? The Holy Spirit counseled you. He'll always counsel you with the Word. He'll always bring the Word in. But he knows exactly what to do in every situation. And if I really believe him to be my counselor, he will be. He's my helper. He doesn't do the job for me. Holy Spirit, go do that. No, he goes with me. Isn't that what a helper does? He's our intercessor. He stands between me and God. He's interceding for me. Don't you think he knows what's going on? He can pray for me a lot better than I can. He's my advocate. An advocate's an attorney. Satan is accusing us constantly. Well, he's my lawyer. He's my attorney, my advocate. He knows the Word. He's my strengthener when I'm weak and run out of strength and weary. He's the one that strengthens me. We all need that. And he's my standby. I love that one because that's when your strength goes completely out. Then that standby power kicks in, like a major generator in a hospital or something. It doesn't do anything. And you wonder, I got $15,000 in that thing sitting out there,
yeah,
or whatever they cost. It never has run. Well, you let the power go out. Within a minute, that thing's running and you got full power.
Mm-hmm.
That's a standby. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's our standby. So he does all of those things, plus he teaches us. But the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Notice he just doesn't just send him. Why does the Father have to send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name? Because Jesus is a man. Man has the authority here. When Jesus went to the cross, rose from the dead, he didn't cease being a man. He's still a man. He will always be a man. He's of the man species. He wasn't before he came and became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. When he was born here, he became a man. He has the authority that Adam had. He's the second Adam, the Word says. He has Adam's authority. A man has the authority to call. And as long as this earth lease is here, God will always use a man. So he sends the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name or by his authority. That's what he's doing. Whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. Didn't leave anything out. If I need to be taught, the Holy Spirit's teaching me. And he will cause you to recall. In other words, he's taught me something. I have knowledge of this thing, but I don't know that I have it. I had it years ago. Maybe I heard a verse of Scripture relating to this, but I don't remember it. Well, he brings that Scripture up. I know. I remember the Word says. It teaches me all things. And he will cause you to recall or remind you of and bring you to remembrance everything I've told you. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? That Spirit lives within us. I think I better quit there. I could go on, but I think I'll quit there. Well, Father, we thank you for this time in your Word. We thank you for the anointing today. Lord, maybe things slipped right by us tonight as we studied, but Lord, our spirit heard. Our spirit received the knowledge of the Word. And Father, We thank you that the Holy Spirit will bring it to pass and bring it forth in us as we need it, Lord. Guide us in our daily life. We thank you for the fruit of this message, the fruit of the word. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. You're so good to us. God, you are a good God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.